Be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide you a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it.
Wouldn't it be great if we come to a certain age in life and temptation goes away? Wouldn't it be nice if we obeyed the gospel that we would never more be plagued by temptation? Sadly, it's not the way life goes. How can we live in today's wicked society and overcome that temptation? If we were to spend the next 20, 30 minutes brainstorming within ourselves a suitable answer, we would never come up with one. We might have some good ideas. Typically, they would fall short. Only in God's Word do we have the key. And God knows that and does not want anyone to perish. It's not His intention and never has been. But regardless of how sinful and depraved our world may be around us, God instructs us to live that perfect life, that mature life that we find in Christ Jesus. He has given us all the instructions that we may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Colossians 4 and verse 12. And in God's Word are provisions that we can walk in righteousness and that we are able to overcome any temptation. But if we were to overcome the temptations that bombard us and is thrown into our face every day, it will not be by accident. But rather, it would be by a disciplined will and a determination that we have cultivated by living in God's Word. In Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, Paul writes, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul's determination was fixed. And the affairs that he was surrounded with in the world itself did not tempt him as they had done before. You look at the early life of Paul, and what was he tempted with? He wanted power. He wanted to be able to stand above. He was moving ahead in the Sanhedrin. But in Philippians 3 and verses 7 and 8, he kind of reminds us what it means to him now. "Whatever I gained, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And we need to take our cue from Paul. Once he was determined to live for Christ, it was far easier for him to overcome the temptations and to remain focused on that final reward. Now, that does not mean that Paul was not immune to temptation. That's why he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, that I discipline my body. I keep it under control. I think some versions say I buffet my body daily, lest after preaching to others, I find myself should be disqualified. He faced the same thing we face. And yes, Paul saw Christ. And yes, he talked to him. And if we were able to see Christ, if we were able to talk to him face to face personally, would that change us? Would it make it easier for us to be faithful? Would it make it easier for us to resist the temptations we face? Paul's not immune to the temptations he faced. Everything that he saw in those cities that he preached in, every city is just like every place today is filled with debauchery. You know, growing up, we used to think, oh, you had to go to Las Vegas or you had to go to San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or some big city to see all the sins of the world. But today we can go to the smallest towns and see it today. We're surrounded by it. The way Paul was able to overcome these things was he had a fixed determination. And if we train ourselves to have that same determination, we will be able to rise above the sins that we face, and we would be steadfast in our striving for heaven. In order to be able to do that, we have to develop that proper mindset and attitude. As Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our attitude, my friends, must reflect our Christianity. If we are wearing our Christianity as a coat, if our mindset is determined to be Christ-like, we will never take that coat off. But sadly, many put the coat on to come to church and take it off in the parking lot. You know, many years ago when I belonged to the volunteer fire department in Union Bridge, Maryland, we were all bought jackets that had our emblem on the back. And I wore it a lot because I was proud of that little department. I still have that jacket hanging up in my closet. I don't think I can zipper it anymore, but it's there. I'm still proud of that little fire department that got me my start. But you see, that's the same way that our Christianity should be in the jacket we wear, the coat we wear for Christianity. We should be wearing it 24/7. We should be proud that we are wearing it and not take it off when we leave here, so that the world doesn't see who we are. What TV shows do you like to watch? Now think about that long and hard. And what shows do you watch that you watch after the kids go to bed because of its content? Is that jacket hanging up in your closet? Or is it still on? You know, it used to be sitcoms were funny. Not anymore. Oh, they might be funny to the world. To the Christian, they're not funny at all. When we have the proper attitude, when it has been developed to that point, we can say, just as Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. With that right attitude, the world will see in us an old man that's been crucified and buried, and a new one is living. These things can help us to overcome temptation. Our attitude needs to be the same as Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. I do not like exercising. And it shows. I like to be outside. I like to work. But I do not like to exercise for fun. But a proper exercise in our spiritual lives and our own thinking overcomes temptation. The evil thoughts are driven from our minds when we crowd them out with pure thinking. Filling our minds with pure thoughts until there's no room left for the thoughts that lead us down that road to temptation. And when I think about proper thinking, I can't help but look at what Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 8, where he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things." What fills our minds? The heart that is enlightened with good and noble thoughts will not have any dark recesses that harbor evil and sensual thoughts. Solomon in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, he said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now here's a man who started off his life fully faithful to God. And then he got off that beaten path. He stopped listening to the wisdom that God had given him and started listening to his own wisdom. He got to that point, he even wrote a whole book trying to find the meaning of life, and he had it at the very beginning and he lost it. But then in chapter 12, he finally found it. He went down that dark path. He allowed the dark things of the world to enter his heart. And it went down from him to his children. Rehoboam was an evil man. He thought he was doing things right, but his own son did what was evil in his sight, and his son did what was evil in God's sight. God has given us the key to the victory. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Years ago, there was a big thing about subliminal messages being sent over your TV through the commercials and stuff that was trying to work within your mind. Even though you weren't thinking about it, it was sending those signals to your brain. And eventually you were catching on and you were starting to change maybe a little bit the way you're thinking. Our brain absorbs these things without actually seeing it with our eyes. If our thoughts are constantly on the life of Christ, we're going to be able to resist the temptations that we face without ever realizing it. And today, more than ever, we must be very careful who we choose to spend time with. Parents, it's time to get nosy about your children's friends. Really, it's not being nosy, being concerned about our children's welfare. There's an old saying that says, if you don't want to be classed as a hog, then don't wallow with them in the mire. We are still known by the company that we keep, and oftentimes we find ourselves powerless to rise above it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, he says, bad company ruins good morals. And it's very easy for us to fall into the wrong crowd. But we can also flip that coin around. It is also impossible to get those same people to join us in what is right. The wrong environment, coupled with the wrong associates, have led to the downfall of many. As parents, we're responsible to train our children to be able to help them be able to make the proper selections for companions, not only for mates that they will hopefully spend the rest of their lives with, but also with their friends. We do that by placing Christian ideals in their hearts at an early age. But just as important, if not more important, setting the example ourselves. We don't even have to wonder why Rehoboam went his way when his dad never set the example for him. Think about this for a moment. Peter was one of Jesus' staunchest disciples. But he denied Christ when he got into the wrong crowd. What is our prayer life like? Do we spend more than 2 or 3 minutes every so often in prayer? Well, you see, in order for us to overcome the temptations, in order for us to gain heaven, we need to learn the true worth of prayer. You know, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the prophet, he wrote, "The way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps." Jesus, in Matthew 26, verse 41, he taught his disciples, he said, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation." Now, the one thing that has always confused me a little bit, in Matthew 6, verse 13, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, "Lead us not into temptation." But I think that was probably more of an interpretation problem than what Jesus actually said, because God does not lead us into temptation. God directs us away. He gives us that way out. We need prayer more than anything else in our life today. Everything that we see on the news, everything we read in the papers or on the internet is not good. And it is very easy for us to be led down that road to temptation to try to make things a little easier on ourselves. But think about this. How often could we avoid or overcome temptation if we stop in our tracks and talk to God? Paul has instructed us to pray without ceasing, to continue in prayer and thanksgiving. We're not to devote every second of every day of our lives in prayer, but that needs to be our foremost. And there is going to be a time during the day where we need to get by ourselves and get to our knees and truly talk to God. And if we find ourselves becoming more and more devoted to prayer and meditation, we're going to find ourselves rising above the temptations that surround us. And if we come to that point in our lives where we think that we can't overcome temptation, that is the very moment that we need to talk to God about it. Where do you stand in your life today? That is an important question that we each need to ask ourselves. If the world were to end in the next 10 minutes, where would we be? If you are not a child of God, you should seriously think about that. Time waits for no man. And the only time we have is this very moment. We're not even guaranteed the next breath. If it is your desire to come to God and to Christ at this moment, to repent and confess and to be baptized for the remission of sins, make that decision now and don't wait. And if you are a child of God and you need to make things right with God, if there's things you are facing that you are think that you are so far under you can't get ahead, come. Let us all pray for you. Come to God in prayer too. He will help. he will aid. If there's any that has a need, won't you come? Together we stand and we sing.